I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I offer up the independent island of independent thought here. Today's Friday. We're going to spend next hour with my regular segments of False Flag Friday. Somebody has revealed themselves. I don't know when people are going to start trusting me. I don't know how much more credibility I need to have when I tell you about some of the bad players that were in the Trump administration. I was rebuffed. I was told I didn't understand what Trump was doing. He was hiring all the best and the brightest. He was going to turn them into this or that. Another one of the snakes has revealed himself. And it will further boost my credibility with everybody. We'll talk about that and then some foreign policy stuff. And then we'll finish up with This Week on the Crazy Train. And you have got to stick around for that. I have got some crazy COVID cult clips. The world we are living in right now, I've got some stuff from NPR. This one's funny enough. You know, if you listen to NPR for any period of time, I think it should be illegal to listen to NPR while you're driving. You know what I'm talking about? Their hosts and their calm, dulcet tones. Yeah, I won't put you to sleep. This clip is so funny. But, of course, it's done on NPR as a serious story. So make sure you stick around for that. Anyway, plenty to get to in the first hour, too. I'll start off with my quotes of the day. Frederick Bastiat said, and boy, we can feel this one, can't we? When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. Yeah, we hold up some of these Fortune 500 globalists that are essentially getting wealth transferred from the poor, working, and middle class of the United States into their pockets, and we herald them as corporate titans and leaders of the country. This was a good one from Larkin Rose. Larkin Rose said, quote, "I am not scared of the Maos and the Stalins and the Hitlers. I'm scared of the thousands or millions of people that hallucinate them to be a, quote, authority, and so do their bidding and pay for their empires and carry out their orders. I don't care if there's one loony with a stupid mustache. He's not a threat if the people do not believe in authority." If you think about that, and I'm going to follow that up with a quote here from Frederick Douglass. I've got to get a book about Frederick Douglass. What an interesting intellectual back in the days of slavery. But Frederick Douglass said, quote, "The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress." The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. And both of these, from both Larkin Rose and Frederick Douglass, is basically pointing out to us, and this is what I tell everybody, they can only get away with oppression, I don't care if it's COVID-related, anything, as long as we accept it. We need to just say no. And the sooner we do, I've got a clip next hour that's going to show you, look, you parents that are sitting on your rumps waiting for the masks to be over, just thinking that the vaccines will, well, maybe just for a year, maybe they won't force it. You're just sitting around waiting to find out what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, they're going to keep the pedal to the metal on the authoritarianism we're seeing unless you get up off your butts. The only way that tyrants, dictators, succeed is by people acquiescent to what they demand. So it's time. Now, there was a good poll out there. Well, actually, no, I take that back. That's slightly encouraging. We'll see. Here we go. Americans have shifted back to favoring a more hands-off approach for government in addressing the nation's problems after a rare endorsement of a more active role just last year. Currently, 52% say the government is doing too many things that should be left to individuals and businesses, while 43% want the government to do more to solve the country's problems. To contrast, a record high 54% of U.S. adults last year said the government should do more to solve problems. All right, so we've gone from 54% down to 43%. So 9% of the people finally realized that when you ask the government to come in and solve a problem, they make everything worse. I don't know what this 43% is still clinging to, but I guess those are the people that have already gone full-on idiocracy and really can't see what is so obviously in front of your face. You know, I spoke yesterday about that's 4 or 5 part plan for fixing America. I'm going to call it Mike Madison's Making America Free and Fun Again. Wouldn't it be nice to have something out there, you know, talking about making America fun again? I think there's something to that. We want a quality of life. And as I've said, if we would get these mental midgets who rule over us out of the way, I think we'd have a blast here. So here's my 5-part plan. If you want to call and disagree with any of this, I have been trying to roll out Friday Fight Club. I just can't get anybody in the ring with me if you disagree with anything, any of these things. So I'll start with the biggie that conservatives just have a real problem with in a lot of cases. But I got to tell you, I think maybe even conservatives are waking up to this. But number one was to end the drug war. It would give us real freedom and end the most of the gun violence. We'd be safer than ever because police could actually focus on things that are important, like crimes with, I don't know, victims. Wouldn't that be nice? Stop giving the psychotropic drugs to our children. That's the part two to fix gun violence. No more kids shooting up schools. End the war on terror and roll back the empire that we cannot afford. End the Fed, the IRS, and the personal income tax and back our money with gold again. See, if you end the Fed and back our currency with gold, suddenly we are a prosperous country. Be a bit of an adjustment period, but you couldn't give the Congress critters, you couldn't give the globalist corporations endless amounts of money. There would be no more funneling money to the top if you end those things, and also ending the Fed, abolishing the income tax, and getting rid of the IRS. Hold on a second. I'm going to my happy place thinking about that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would also end the welfare state. See, they can't afford any of these things that are so damaging to the United States. Just about every complaint you have is all funded by the Federal Reserve, but nobody wants to talk about it. Maybe that's the third pin on Sean Hannity's lapel. Maybe he's got a Federal Reserve pin on there with his two CIA lapel pins. That's why he's hiding the Fed from you. I had a listener contact me the other day and said Tucker did a segment on the Fed. I got to go back and find that. But anyway, so that's my 5-part plan. Anybody disagrees with any of it? It's so easy. Really, it could be done in about an afternoon. I'm not a big fan of executive orders, but setting people free could be done in an afternoon. And I got to tell you, these things are vastly better than the MAGA promises, which didn't address any of the real root problems this country's facing. Now you say, well, what about the wall, Mike? You got to build the wall. Would you need a wall as much if you had no welfare system whatsoever? And I got to tell you, I am helping a small local business try to hire workers, maintain staff. I'm pretty close to driving down to the Rio Grande myself with a van to try to bring people over. Do you know what small business owners are going through in the United States right now with staffing shortages? I got to tell you, the argument against keeping people out because they might take our jobs is falling a little flat for the past 6 to 12 months. Holy cow. Americans do not want to take jobs. Of course, part of that reason is because they've gotten this endless rounds of STEMI money that was perpetuated by anyone, the Federal Reserve. Young people are not taking entry-level jobs, and if they take them, ooh, heaven forbid you trigger them in any way, they're out the door. If they showed up that day to start with. We actually need people pouring across the border to go into this labor market. I know conservatives hate to hear me say that, but you go try to run a small business right now and keep a staff. Have you walked around? Have you gone to restaurants? Have you gone to retail places and you pull up during normal business hours and there's a sign on the door, closed, can't find help, staff didn't show up. I'm not necessarily advocating for illegal immigration. What I'd rather see is our government and the Federal Reserve get out of the labor markets with their endless checkbook and let people get back to work. But I got to tell you, something's got to be did. And there's this, too. You know, as I say, today's Friday Fight Club. If you want to call up and disagree with me on any of my platforms for the Mike Madison's Make America Fun and Free Again, the drug war. This is a headline. This is a headline for another drug war success on the AP yesterday. In Mexico, children as young as 10 recruited by drug cartels. Yeah, that drug war is going swimmingly. Jacobo grew up in the western Mexico state of Jalisco, home to the Jalisco New Generation drug cartel. Never comfortable in school, he had an abusive childhood. At one point, his mother held his hands over an open flame after he allegedly shoved a classmate. So he goes into the gangs. What does it say? Now he's 17. He claims he didn't do it, but by 12, he was recruited to carry out his first murder for the cartel. Quote, they go around looking for kids who are out on the streets and need money. At 12 years old, I became sort of a hired killer. Yeah, that drug war is going great, people, isn't it? What a boon to humanity. And the funny thing is, you haven't stopped any drugs. You think the wall's going to do it. You can't keep drugs out of a prison, but you believe building a wall on the southern border, what, the drugs will just pile up on that side of the wall? You think the cartels go, we can't get it over the wall. What's this wall? I told you it'd be a good time to get into the catapult business, should the wall have even ever been built. But anyway, yeah, this drug war, I can't stop. We're going to talk to Christina Dent next week. She is doing great work from a conservative Christian approach to the problem of drugs in our society. And it doesn't involve putting people into cages and further traumatizing them. So she's going to be on the show, I believe, on Tuesday. You really need to tune in for that. Christina is fantastic, and you cannot argue with this woman. She brings the facts. She brings logic. She brings her core Christian values that got her to explore the trauma that is involved in the drug war in the first place. So I hope you'll tune in for that on Tuesday. We got some more pushback on the vaccine mandates. I'm loving it. We're seeing kind of little sparks of freedom, little sparks of dissent in this country. It's too long in the making, but they're finally here. I've got several examples of them when we come back.
I went home with a waitress, the way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians too.
You know, I talk a lot on this show about the drug war. I probably mention it 3 to 4 times a month. And I would imagine it's one of the least popular things you can do on conservative talk radio, particularly in a, you know, in a Bible Belt state. But to me, one of the reasons it's so important is because I've gotten some letters from listeners, particularly in the last few weeks, and it's the best kind of communication I can get from people. And they say, you make me think about things. And that's what we need. We desperately need people to start thinking rather than feeling. Everybody thinks it's the left that leads with their emotions. They feel this. They're offended by that. We see it on the left. On the right, there's a lot of issues we don't really, we haven't been exercising that thought muscle very much. And the drug war is one of those things. People feel their way through the drug war because we've seen the devastation of drugs on individuals, but we've also seen the devastation of alcohol on people. We've seen the devastation of food on some people. We don't seek to ban it, put it into a black market, and create a criminal underworld around it. And so the drug war to me is important because it is about starting to think about things and realizing how conservatives are led around by the nose by fear as well. That's another thing that conservatives look and they say, oh, the left is scared of their own shadow. The left is so scared of COVID. The reason the liberals are wearing their masks is because they're so afraid because they've bought into the fear mongering. You know why we've got a $1 trillion military budget right now, or a national defense budget that includes things like Homeland Security and CIA and NSA and all that stuff, not just Pentagon budget, but about $1 trillion a year in national security, which is essentially just a great boon to defense contractors. It's not a bunch of soldiers getting rich, I assure you. It's because conservatives have been cowered and they live in fear. You know, with the drug stuff, it's been about a year ago now, but this call really sticks in my brain. There's a guy, I think we were talking off air. I can't remember if this was on air or off air. But he took exception with my idea of legalizing all drugs. I call it legalizing freedom. All drugs were legal before about 1914, somewhere in that area, 1910. You used to be able to go to the corner store and get heroin if you wanted to. We still put together a pretty prosperous country. I don't know if you noticed the 1900s. We did pretty well launching into the 1900s. The drug war has been a catastrophe. But this caller called in, and he called into a conservative radio station. I assume he would profess to be a constitutional conservative. And what he said to me was, we should fight the drug war like Saudi Arabia does. They don't have a drug problem. First of all, I'll bet that's not true. I bet there are people doing drugs in Saudi Arabia, but this is somebody that listens to conservative radio that, as I say, I would imagine considers themselves a constitutional conservative, but they want to follow the lead of Sharia law when it comes to people intoxicating themselves, altering their consciousness. I hate to tell anybody like that, you're not a constitutional conservative. You can stop saying that now. You're a constitutional conservative with a bunch of asterisks, and to be honest with you, you're a bit of a petty tyrant like the COVID tyrants that we're seeing right now. It's a choice that I choose not to make, so I demand that anybody who makes a choice that I choose not to make should be put into a cage, because I disapprove. As I said, if we went around things that people disapprove of, I could start locking people up at the grocery store. What they're doing to their bodies, what they're doing to the health of their children, with what I see in their grocery carts, it's a crime against humanity. But I would seek to educate, not incarcerate, around that issue. But the drug issue is just, it's very important, because I think that once you exercise that muscle and start to realize that something has gone so terribly wrong, been so wildly ineffective, and start thinking about it in a different way, we've got to rethink so many things in this country. That's part of my 5-point plan. It's 5 points. 5 points to my plan. It would be an entirely different America. I actually had notes here. I started looking at it. You know, what would you get with my 5-point plan? You'd have safer cops. They wouldn't be fighting the drug war. They'd be focusing on helping victims of actual aggressive crime, rapes, murders, thefts. They wouldn't spend, 6 hours processing somebody who drove down the road and had a bag of weed in the trunk. You'd have healthier, happier children, not tied up with psychotropic drugs. You'd have real freedom, safer streets, no drug gangs running rampant. Jackson would be safer. Chicago would be safer. You'd have about $2 trillion. Just imagine this. We are entering some pretty, pretty bizarre and potentially horrific financial times in this country. They've broken the entire system. It is not COVID. It just drives me nuts. I hear it over and over again. COVID did this and COVID did that. COVID did nothing. COVID did what the flu does. COVID is one of those things that we have to deal with from time to time. Maybe man-made. Maybe Anthony Fauci unleashed this for his own purposes. No, I don't have any objection to that idea whatsoever. Obviously, he's involved in this. But the bottom line is COVID didn't crush our economy. COVID didn't crush our supply lines. COVID didn't crush our labor markets. That's all man-made. That's all made by the bureaucrats and the politicians in charge. COVID didn't do anything. But we're going to have some tough economic times. Can you just imagine for a second? If individual Americans did not have to pay individual income tax and the government lived on the $2 trillion it collects from other sources, what do you think would happen with $2 trillion extra bucks sloshing around in the U.S. economy? How many jobs do you think that would create? How much happier do you think people would be if they kept every nickel that they earned? How much easier would it be able to afford college, to be able to afford a car, to be able to afford vacations? That's the fun part of Make America Free and Fun Again. You'd have a little bit of disposable income to do something fun. This stuff is not hard. The only difference between me and people that you typically see running for office are that I seek to control nobody. I told somebody yesterday, just want to set people free. I want to set my people free. Anyway, speaking of freedom, when we get back, I kind of went on a tangent there because I think it's important people start thinking about the drug war because it's a muscle. This is an exercise. It's a thought exercise. And if you have problems with that, with my ideas about that, still fears that are lingering, it's been decades of propaganda and fear-mongering to you about this, then you're welcome to call in 601-879-0002. But this is a muscle. We need to start developing our thinking muscle. We've done plenty with emotion so far, but it's time to start exercising the thought side of the brain. But when we come back, we're going to get into some of the pushback on these mandates. These are very, very bright signals for this country. I've got a clip next hour that will show you COVID's going nowhere. They have plans to keep this going for years and years, maybe forever, if we don't get out in front of it. Some people are finally standing up and getting out in front of it. We'll talk about that when we come back. See you.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to call in 601-879-0002. This vaccine issue is starting to heat up. I mean, it is a slow burn, but more and more people are being pushed to the brink when it comes to their employment, and they're starting to push back, which is fantastic news. If everybody had held firm from the beginning, we would have nipped this thing in the bud. I don't know how many people out there just shrugged their shoulders and went, well, somebody's bugging me about it. I'm going to have to get it eventually sometime anyway. I want to do X, Y, or Z, so I guess. I mean, so they injected something. They have no idea what it is. They injected it into their body just on this, well, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? This is what I believe the American motto should be. Well, there's two of them that I kind of compete in my head for the motto of the vast majority of Americans. Excuse me. One of them is, duh, okay. And the other is, what are you going to do? This is what's passed for American resistance for the longest time. I don't know. What are you going to do? I'll bring up the income tax issue. What are you going to do? Well, maybe you could start electing Republicans with the libertarian bent that actually know that income tax is theft. And anyway, some people are finally pushing back now. God love them. They're going to risk their careers, their jobs. They're not afraid. It's just great to know we're getting more and more people like that. They're, you know, the harder they push, the more people will start to stand up. I heard one of our competitors yesterday. A listener gave me a heads up to a clip. Now, the listener referenced a statement that was made on a competitor station, all of which I call WGOP. And it's just kind of a catch-all for conservative radio in central Mississippi that's going with the program because they get a ton of money from the state, which is controlled by Republicans. So they play the game. They're just talking point radio. Is it bad form to bash your competitors? But I did not hear the clip. I went back and listened to the show. I didn't hear what the listener had called for, but I'll be honest, only listened to about 10 minutes. But what I heard was them describing vaccine hesitancy where they just didn't understand it. And there is this horrible false equivalency of this. People take shots. you've been taking shots for forever. I mean, you take MMR vaccines, you take this, you take that, like it's the same thing. I assume people are being dishonest about that, but they may be that stupid to not throw into the mix, oh yeah, these are experimental. There aren't a whole lot of parents that are rolling their kids' sleeves up, at least not yet. There's about to be a bunch of them from polling. About a third of parents are ready to roll their kids' sleeves up to be part of the experiment. And I would imagine it will be 50-60% by the time it's all over. But there's not a whole lot of parents prior to 2020 that got to the hospital or went to their pediatrician's office and the pediatrician came out and said, hey, you know, we want to try out a new shot. What do you think about it with Johnny? Yeah, it's something we cooked up. We think it's going to be okay. We believe it's going to be efficacious. We hope it's going to work. So we call it safe and effective. But it's brand new. No, we've never even tried this technology before. But Johnny looks like a good candidate for it. But Johnny's not sick. I know, but it doesn't matter. This will make him even less not sick. I mean, it's just bizarro world. So this host just goes on and on. He was talking about the basketball players that came out and did very eloquent, calm, rational discussion about their natural immunity and not wanting to take a brand new shot that's never been tested before. Not for long-term effects in particular, and these are finely tuned athletes. It's a very logical objection on their part. But this host was, oh, it's just ridiculous. And they said, it's just become something patriotic. You know, people are just resisting the government with this thing. These are Republicans out there calling people just these rubes for not rolling their sleeve up. They can't imagine what the hesitation is. It's stunning to me. It really is. And I can only imagine it's just because they're corrupt as hell. Because Tate Reeves, while he sits in his mansion doing nothing while Mississippians lose their jobs, made it clear the Republican establishment line is everybody gets the shot. We got a lot of big pharma dollars in this state. We're going to carry big vaccination numbers for them. We've been doing it for years. We've got the most restrictive, the most oppressive vaccine program in the country right now in Mississippi. We're going to get this shot in them too. Can't imagine the big pharma money that must be sloshing around this state. Because not only do we have the highest vaccination rate, we're also the sickest state. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. So to the host at WGOP, I might say, why don't you take a look at the health outcome of Mississippians who you are talking about already taking all these other shots? It's not working out so well, if you haven't noticed. But he doesn't care. He's talking up his book, as we used to say in the financial advice business. Talking up your book means you're going to talk good about a stock that you want to get paid for investing your client's money in. If you've got money invested in a company and you go on CNBC and you talk great about that company because you want your share price to go up, you want your investment to be worth more, they call that talking up your book. These WGOP stations are talking up their book because they're getting paid. Anyway, the people are fighting back. It's going to really go off if they come after our kids with these shots. But yesterday, and this is actually, I guess, 2 days ago because the story was out yesterday. So what would that be? Wednesday, American Airlines had almost 300 of its flights canceled, almost 10% of its total schedule, far more than any other carrier in the United States. Southwest remains second. And another 673 flights delayed. It's no doubt purely coincidental, this author says, that I have heard from multiple pilots at American this week, and that its pilot forums are filled with anger at the vaccine mandates. And I talked about this before. When Southwest was kicking off last weekend with the sick out by Southwest pilots, American Airline pilots were on message boards and they were emailing some people like Alan Berenson and going, hey, we're next. We're going to do the exact same thing. So they are pushing back. The Chicago Police Union head of the Chicago Police Officers Union on Tuesday called on its members to refuse to comply with the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate, which is set to take effect on Friday. Quote, do not fill out the portal information, Chicago Fraternal Order of Police President John Cannizzara said in a video to officers posted on YouTube. Quote, I've made my status very clear as far as the vaccine, but I do not believe the city has the authority to mandate that to anybody, let alone that information about your medical history. Golly, we missed such an opportunity. You know, I'm going to go back to my quotes of the day. When Frederick Douglass said, "The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress." If we had hung together, if all of you people out there who were hesitant would have just said no, would have stuck to your guns, we would have nipped this thing in the bud. Mandates would never have even really been an option for corporations, for the Biden administration, for the airlines, for our firefighters, for our nurses at the hospitals. If everybody had hung together, and the people who wanted to get it could go get it, but if every person that didn't want it, some of them go in tears having to go get this thing because they cannot afford to lose their job. If everybody had hung together, and what do they say? We must all hang together or we will all hang separately. Well, this is a great example of that. Luckily, there are those last holdout, I don't know, somewhere probably between 20, 40, 50% of people who are now facing their deadlines. They're finally fighting back. If we do not win at this level, if people do not make sacrifice now, you are leaving a world for your children where your body is no longer yours. Shame on you. I understand the pressure. I don't judge people. It's not up to me to tell a doctor or a nurse or a firefighter or anybody to give up their career. That's a selfish thing for me to demand. But what I am saying is that if you want to maintain your freedom, that's a choice you need to take very seriously, not a shrug of the shoulders and a, what are you going to do? We've done that for too long, and look what we've gotten ourselves. I'll be right back.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
All right, next hour we're going to get into, you got to stick around for some of these COVID cult clips, particularly this NPR stuff. You know, I mean, some stuff, it sounds like a skit on Saturday Night Live, you know, back when Saturday Night Live used to be funny. But it's real. It is real. The COVID cult. Oh, it is absolutely amazing. So we'll do that next hour along with False Flag Friday, where I'm going to expose another one of the people who tied his political fortunes to Trump's coattails, and everybody just thought he was a hero, a great patriot. And I've been bashing him since the day I came on this air. And everybody thought I wasn't with the program. I didn't understand. Well, he's exposed himself as a snake. I'll do that next hour. I missed kind of the payoff to this, some of the pushback here. Another COVID success. So let's look at, or COVID policy success, which is this vaccine mandates. Let's look at all the successes. They broke the supply chains. They broke the labor market. They broke our kids. They broke the schools. I mean, they've broken everything. But they're not done. The vaccine mandates, they're still trying to go around and smash the rest of what a functioning society needs. Talking about the police unit in Chicago and the head of that organization, Cannizzara. According to Cannizzara, the police union is preparing a lawsuit against the city if Mayor Lori Lightfoot's administration attempts to enforce the mandate, which requires city workers to report their vaccine status by Friday or be placed on a no-pay status. This is what he said. Just think about this in Chicago, of all places in the country. Quote, this is from the head of the police union in Chicago. Quote, "It's safe to say that the city of Chicago will have a police force at 50% or less for this weekend coming up." You can just imagine it right now. The criminals in Chicago right now, they're all just sitting around their living rooms. All the drug gangs that were created by the drug war. To circle back to that, but all the criminals in Chicago right now, they're you can see them. They're in their living room. They got the soaps on, and they're all cleaning their weapons. Want to make sure they are really ready for this weekend. As 50% of Chicago's police just stand down because of this ridiculous shot mandate. I tell you, you people of Chicago, you're getting exactly what you've had coming. And I don't like saying that because there are good people in Chicago. There are a lot of people in Chicago that will be at risk of bodily harm this weekend. They did not vote for Lori Lightfoot. Don't fall into that trap of thinking that you want California to slide into the sea or, you know, getting hatred for one pocket of the country. Look, we all have problems with the people we've got sitting in the Jackson legislature right now, don't we? Do we deserve everything? Do we deserve everything that comes our way? Because our governor is in hiding, apparently, and refuses to stand up for Mississippians? Do we deserve everything we get because our legislature is full of a bunch of rhinos? No. So I don't do that. Oh, they get what they deserve. There's a lot of good people there. The people who, you know, voted and maybe benefit from these horrible administrations in these Democratic towns, if they suffer some problems, that's a little bit of karma. But there's good people in these cities. 50% of Chicago police are going to stand down this weekend. Holy cow. We may see some record numbers. These criminals, they're making sure everybody's got the right ammo. I mean, this is like prom night in Chicago this weekend, because believe me, they know that they are about to have about a 50% chance, less chance, probably of the small chance that they were going to be arrested or stopped from committing crimes anyway. There are things going on the economic front. Or a couple of the headlines here. Oh, yeah, here's a fun one. Here's another COVID policy success. Shoppers share photos of bare aisles in stores across the country. Winning! Farmers warn of turkey shortage ahead of the holidays. And then consumer sentiment slips to near decade lows. Gee, I wonder why. It seems like things are going swimmingly. Well, here you go. Here's a fun one. Here's a fun one from Ford Motor Company. There is officially no longer a minimum credit score necessary to get an 84-month, 7-year car note at Ford. Yes, those pesky FICO scores determining who does and who doesn't have the means to pay or a history of paying bills will finally no longer have leverage over the broke, spend-heavy U.S. consumer. Ford sent a bulletin to dealers this week announcing they would be removing the requirement. And while 7-year loans aren't commonplace yet, they soon will be. COVID sped up the rate. And see, this is when I don't like this. It says COVID sped up the rate at which these types of loans are being offered. No, the reaction to COVID, the hysteria surrounding COVID, the idiots in charge of COVID policy sped up the rate at which these types of loans are being offered at Ford. So now we've got 7-year car loans. You don't even need a credit score. What this is that as the American consumer slips farther and farther behind, these companies are just like, well, we're running out of people to sell to. We got to move inventory, whatever we can do. You know, they've been doing this with the credit scores. They've been taking things off of credit scores to make them magically improve. You know, now you can go on and if you pay your Netflix bill each month, by automatic draft, you can go on to some of these credit bureaus and put in there, hey, I pay my Netflix bill. And they go, oh, great. Here's 20 points on your credit score. They are trying to do anything they can to make sure they loan out and get as many people into debt as possible. And Ford does not want the credit score standing in the way of giving out bad loans. Clay Edwards, I've heard him say some statistics. He was in the car business for a while, and he's had some fascinating statistics about, you know, first month loan defaults, those kinds of things. But this is the trend. As the economy falls further and further behind, more people lose traction in our economy. They want to make sure you'll still borrow, though. They've got to find a way to make sure that people will still borrow. Now, they'll suffer the consequences of this if it doesn't work out. But I think a $40,000 car, the average rate on an 84-month loan, I believe, was something like 6.9%. And so a $40,000 car will end up being $50,000. So much money on cars now is made actually on the financing and not on the car itself. But, you know, these are the trends that are coming. They've just got to figure out ways to get people to borrow more and more money when what we should be doing is consuming less. I am really wondering, there's a lot of talk right now about the fact that you can't get Christmas presents. The supply chains are disrupted. There is no doubt about that. I am living witness to the problems in supply chains in several different businesses. But they're also talking about the fact that you better go out and get your Christmas gifts now. That may be prudent advice. I really don't know. I trust nobody. This is part of my problem. If something is said in the news, I'm immediately suspicious, and then I need to prove whether or not it's true or false. But it seems like it could be a pretty good gimmick for retailers right now who have been struggling, and you know, there's no more stimmy checks going out, so they're saying, hey, can you come do your Christmas shopping in September and October? That'd be super. But it could also be that they are seeing the handwriting on the wall and realizing the store's shelves will not be packed. I don't know if you saw that California has now outlawed boys and girls sections in their stores. And I believe what the story also said was that they've outlawed the blue and pink that designates it as more geared towards one gender or another. I told you, don't wish for California to slide to the sea. Just wish Gavin Newsom and the leftists would be run out of that state on a rail. California is such a beautiful state. I really wish some normal, sane people would take it back. We'll finish the show today showing you there are very sane, very few sane and normal people. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It's Friday, so we do our segment here each Friday, which is False Flag Friday, where I try to explain to people how you've been tricked, duped, fear-mongered into every war and every horrific foreign policy decision that benefits the profiteers at the expense of the rest of us. And I guess I should put some theme music to that, too. Ozzy Osbourne seems to kind of be my second hour of show Fridays. As he also put out, I use him, Crazy Train, for this week on the Crazy Train. And then we have the Black Sabbath hit, War Pigs.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. Death's construction.
Yeah, I think that sets the mood well for exposing the warmongers and the neocons out there that are sacrificing our young kids for their own profits. And one of those war pigs that I've been warning about since the day I came on the air here, but I was rebuffed by the listeners because he said he liked Donald Trump. And that's all it takes for everybody to believe that somebody is a patriot. I warned you. I told you. This guy was a snake in the grass, a wolf in sheep's clothing, and now it has been revealed. Mitch McConnell secretly plotted with anyone? Senator Tom Cotton in December and January to prevent other senators from working with President Donald Trump to reverse Joe Biden's election victory, a new book says. McConnell, then Senate Majority Leader, and Cotton, a vocal Trump supporter, publicly objected to Trump's efforts to overturn the election at the time. But in the book, In Trump's Shadow, by the journalist David Drucker, an excerpt of which Vanity Fair published on Monday, described how they tried behind the scenes to maneuver against the president. Now, do you understand this? Let's read a couple of those lines real quick. Tom Cotton, a vocal Trump supporter, but he was working behind the scenes to maneuver against the president. Tom Cotton is a blood-soaked warmonger criminal. And I have been saying this since the day I came on the air. I've said this about Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo will reveal himself as well to those of you still clinging to the idea that he was such a stalwart of the Trump administration. Mike Pompeo was playing Donald Trump. Mike Pompeo was manipulating Donald Trump. Mike Pompeo is the reason that Trump kept us in the Middle East. So there you go. There's Tom Cotton. I warned you about Christopher Wray. I warned you about William Barr. I warned you about Gina Haspel. I warned you about Steve Mnuchin. I warned you. Trump surrounded himself with the absolute worst. I'm not sure if there was a bright spot in any of Trump's hires. I'm sure there might have been one or two, but He put an Eli Lilly guy in charge of Health and Human Services and put a Raytheon guy in charge of the Defense Department. Good Lord. People are still clinging to the idea that he was some kind of a genius. Ron Paul has a great quote here. He said, "My understanding is that espionage means giving secret or classified information to the enemy. Since Snowden shared information with the American people, his indictment for espionage could reveal or confirm that the U.S. government views you and me as the enemy." Pretty profound from the great statesman, Ron Paul. Yeah, that says all you need to know about our deep state. Let's see what else we had here. Oh, Iran. The warmongers that are in the Biden administration, they're in every administration. It's not really a partisan issue. Blood-soaked creatures, Joe Biden and the rest of them. During talks in Washington between Israeli Foreign Minister Yair Lapid and U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken on Wednesday, the Biden administration made it clear that it will weigh, quote, all options if Iran nuclear deals talks fail in Vienna. Blinken warned Tehran that, quote, time is running out, during a press conference while standing beside his Israeli counterpart. Now, I wanted to dovetail this into another story, right? Again, I'm telling you, conservatives, you've been duped into this. Iran's going to come take your stuff, that they're something we need to face off with. Do I like the mullahs in Iran? I do not. Do I want to live there? I do not. But that certainly does not mean Trump was dead wrong on Iran. He should have left them alone. It's always interesting to me, you know, that the idea is that Iran is seeking this nuclear weapon and we must stop them at all costs. That's interesting coming from a bunch of people who believe in the Second Amendment. Why do you believe you need a gun? Is it because you want to kill people? No. Is it because you think that having a gun is a great deterrent to people? People knowing that you have a gun might make them pass over your house and go to the next house, right? Well, these nuclear weapons, we have shown a proclivity for invading countries that do not have nukes. So why we would blame Iran for wanting to get one is beyond me. But this is actually even more interesting. The reason that the Mike Pompeos of the world tell you that you need to fear Iran is that they're at the brink of getting a nuclear weapon. Benjamin Netanyahu, the former Israeli prime minister, made decades-long pronouncements that Iran was just a couple of weeks away from a nuke. 6 months away, he started doing that. I believe the first clip I found of that was like 1992. He was always saying, they're just about to get a nuke. This Lapid guy from Israel warned U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan that Iran is on the brink of becoming a nuclear threshold state. Ooh, so scary. Now, strange, though, there was this speech by an ex-Mossad head, Mossad being the CIA of Israel, right? The guy probably knows what he's talking about. And these are always interesting because this is when they when they give speeches that aren't necessarily in front of the mainstream media. This is the ex-head of Israeli Mossad talking about Iran's nuclear program and how close they are to getting a nuclear weapon.
That in the end of the day, Iran, till today, 2021, does not even close to acquire military, nuclear, or any nuclear weapons whatsoever. No.
That's the head of Mossad. Oh, all the way up until today, they're not even close. They're not even close to getting a nuclear weapon. Isn't that interesting that we're constantly besieged with people telling us how Iran is just about to get a nuke? This is another. I know, this is kind of like the drug war stuff. For a lot of conservatives, for me to, you think I'm siding with Iran. He's an Iranian agent. No, I'm just trying to tell you, you're getting duped into all these wars, and this breathless stuff about Iran getting a nuke and being the largest state sponsor of terror is just more fear-mongering to get you to stay involved in the Middle East because they've got you convinced that Iran is some kind of a threat to the United States. It most certainly is not. The best thing we could do is leave them alone. I think they had a million-person march the day after 9/11 in Iran, in Tehran. A million people took to the streets in solidarity with the United States. Do you know that? No, you don't. Because that does not fit the narrative of the warmongers. I wanted to play this clip. I just ran across it again just to show you how disingenuous our foreign policy is. And it also implicates two of my favorite villains. I can't shake my dislike of Sean Hannity. I can't do it. I just can't. He's such a Judas goat to the conservative. He's warped so many people's minds. I can't stand by and watch you be abused by the Sean Hannity show anymore. Again, Sean Hannity was one of these. He professes his love for Donald Trump, so everybody thinks he's some kind of a great American. He's fighting the deep state with two CIA lapel pins on his blazer. It's almost comical. This is an old clip, but this is a clip of Sean Hannity, you know, the warmonger Sean Hannity that has tried to sell you on everything from Afghanistan to Iraq to Libya to Syria to Iran. He tries to sell you on every single war. This was him talking to John McCain. And I want you to listen to John McCain, who is looking up at us right now as we speak, cussing me. John McCain admitting that he's been meeting and is in close contact with the leaders of ISIS. Yeah, you heard that right. Yeah, the idea has always been, right, we're in the Middle East to fight radical jihadists. It's just it's so inconvenient that what it actually happened to be is we're over there funding and training ISIS, unleashing them like a pit bull in the Middle East. And John McCain admits it. Again, this is an old clip. I think it's from 2014. But it just really shows if you're not awake yet to the game that's being played on you that keeps our troops all over the world, well, this is a good example of it, and Sean Hannity's complicit.
And on top of that, I am concerned about this report about Syrian rebels and the ceasefire with ISIS. Senator
Paul, that's not true.
Well,
it's not true.
You want me to read
true.
From the
weather? I don't care about the.
Now, this is back when Sean Hannity just had an American flag lapel pin. No CIA lapel pins yet.
Report. I know these people intimately. We talk to them all the time.
You hear this? This is John McCain. Oh, I know these people, the Syrian rebels who were just ISIS. They were radical jihadists funded and trained by the United States. Yes, that's right. You paid the salary of radical jihadists in the Middle East while your government told you that they needed $1 trillion a year to fight anyone, radical jihadist. This is John McCain saying, I'm in contact with them all the time. They've got my cell phone.
But also let me point out that if we are going to conduct a conflict the way you are describing it, as and I'm afraid that's the case, this is reminiscent of Vietnam, the gradual escalation that ended up in one of the worst defeats that America has ever suffered.
Let me ask you about what your colleague Rand Paul said about it this morning. He said it's a mistake to arm them. Most of the arms that we've given the so-called moderate rebels have wound up in the hands of ISIS because ISIS simply takes it from them or it is given to them, and we mistakenly actually end up giving it to some radicals. How look, things
has
are
Rand
very...
Paul, has Rand Paul ever been to Syria? Has he ever met with ISIS? Has he
I'm
ever
not
met
trying
with,
to cause a
with
fight,
any of these
sir.
People? No. We're going to have a fight because it's patently false. This is the same Rand Paul that said we didn't want to have anything to do with anything to do in the Middle East, by the way.
Yeah, and he's right.
Way, I don't want to get in a fight with him at all.
Yeah.
But it's not true. I know these people. I'm in contact with them all the time.
Let me ask you this.
Did you hear that? He said, has Rand Paul met with ISIS? This is a sitting U.S. senator that is sending our moms and dads, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters halfway across the world to fight and die in the sand. He's meeting with ISIS. It's just one of these things. I'm sorry. It's an old clip, but every time it pops up in front of my face, I just think, how in the world? This was on the Sean Hannity show. You conservatives didn't catch a clue back in 2017. All right, a couple other things to mention just about the disastrous U.S. foreign policy. I know foreign policy is not real sexy these days. We've got so many problems here domestically, but it's 30 minutes a week. I'm going to make sure people kind of understand the game that's being played on us. One of the true disasters of foreign policy on top of Iran is North Korea, right? They're this axis of evil. They're always threatening us. They're a threat to our national security, and we spend billions and billions of dollars a year facing off against these two small countries. No navies, no air forces to speak of. Again, the defense contractors, thank you. They're probably readying their summer homes as we speak. A noticeably slimmer Kim Jong-un of North Korea laid out plans to build a, quote, invincible military to defend against what he charged as the persistent hostile threat from the United States. And the story goes on. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I don't want to move on to the fun clips for the week. But the bottom line is that North Korea has never been a threat to the United States. And it's funny to me, we get very upset about China building these artificial bases, artificial islands in the South China Sea. I don't like that either. China is no good. Not a fan of China. Don't want to see them expand at all. Don't want them to start moving about the world. Although I don't know they've ever invaded a country that, you know, in modern times. But the bottom line is we get really exercised about this idea of China building this artificial island. I mean, we've got to stop it at all costs. North Korea, we have 38,000 U.S. troops on the border of North Korea. And just about once a month or once a quarter for decades, we've been doing war games simulating toppling their government and destroying their country. And that's okay. But China can't build something in the South China Sea. We have 38,000 troops on the border of North Korea poised to go in for decades. Can you understand why some countries may be a little nervous about the United States and maybe want to get nuclear weapons? Probably the only reason we haven't gone into North Korea is because they did get nukes. I don't want North Koreans to have nukes, but I'm not surprised that they do. And then lastly, I wanted to point this because this is so sick, and it's the war criminals that are in the Biden administration are the same as the war criminals that were in the Trump administration, the Obama administration, the Bush administration, et cetera, et cetera. On Wednesday, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said the U.S. position on Syria is to, quote, oppose the country's reconstruction and not support any attempts at normalization with the government of Bashar al-Assad. At a joint press conference with his Israeli and United Arab Emirates counterparts, Blinken said the U.S. has not changed our position to oppose the reconstruction of Syria until there is irreversible progress towards a political solution. Quote, the United States has not lifted a single sanction on Syria or changed our position to oppose the reconstruction of Syria until there is an irreversible progress towards a political solution, which we believe is necessary and vital. Do you understand that's a war crime? Your government right now, and you can blame Biden if that makes you feel better, but it was going on under Donald Trump. Donald Trump's helped destroy Syria and has left the country with our military stealing the oil money that Syrians need to rebuild the country that we destroyed. And now the Biden administration is in there, and our Secretary of State is saying, no, we oppose this country that has done nothing to the United States. We are going to oppose them being able to rebuild their own country after we tore it apart. This is the sickness. This is the psychopathy that is in Washington, D.C., and this is why the empire needs to be rolled back and the warmongers thrown out on their cans. Be right back. What's your frequency? Can it this year been so drained? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. We end every Friday show, the last 30 minutes, with this segment that has gotten more and more blurred with the rest of the show because everything seems to be insane, but I focus in mostly on clips I find during the course of the week for This Week on the Crazy Train. All aboard! But here's a fun one. In an exhibit booth in the Association of the United States Army's annual meeting and exhibition, Ghost Robotics, this is the military-friendly competitor to the better-known Boston Dynamics, proudly showed off a weapon that is designed to attach to its quadruped bots made by a company called Sword Defense Systems. Quote, the Sword Defense System's special-purpose unmanned rifle, Spur, was specifically designed to offer precision fire from unmanned platforms such as the Ghost Robotics Vision 60 quadruped. This is the robot dog. They are putting precision weapons on the top, and you've seen these robot dogs? Yeah, we're going to add some weapons to them. That makes me sleep better at night. As I said, when it comes to crazy, nothing leads the world like COVID. And I'll play this clip real quick. I actually covered this story a couple of days ago, but this is in its audio form just to show you what a disastrous reaction we have had to this ramped up flu.
In Taiwan, the number of people dying after their COVID vaccination is exceeding the number of deaths from the virus itself. Taiwan's health authorities say that as of Monday, deaths after vaccination reached 865, while deaths from the virus are at 845. Vaccines currently offered in Taiwan include AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer-BioNTech, and Taiwan's own vaccine, Medigen. Out of the 865 deaths after vaccination, over 600 were from AstraZeneca and nearly 200 deaths after Moderna shot.
And they are doing the media thing, which is apparently, I don't know what Pfizer has spent on the media, but the thing is, whatever you do, don't mention Pfizer. Okay, here it comes. This is the clip I've been dying to play all day. And this is just, there's a couple of clips in a row here. I'm going to say, these are not comedy skits. These are real things. This first one is NPR. NPR did a segment, you know, I guess there's a lot of people, particularly on the left, but there's some people scared of their own shadow on all sides of this issue. So they're waiting to get guidance from, you know, authorities on how to live their entire lives, all the way down to hugging.
If you're not a hugger, the pandemic has been the perfect excuse to never hug again. But for those of us who like to hug, the pandemic has felt cold, isolating. Even now, with so many vaccinated, the Delta variant can cause breakthrough infections. So we wanted to know, is it okay to hug? What about handshakes and kisses? We turn now to NPR health editor Mark Silver to answer those questions. Hello.
Hello, Lulu.
So is it risky when both people are vaccinated?
Well, first you have to remember how you catch COVID. If someone is infected, they'll breathe out respiratory and aerosol droplets that can transmit the virus. So close contact, like a hug, can be risky. But vaccination brings that risk way down.
Okay, that's just a lie.
So even if you're in contact with someone who's vaccinated and has been infected without knowing it, that person breathes out far fewer infected particles than someone who's not vaccinated.
Okay, that's an outright lie. That's a complete lie, or the guy is a complete idiot. They did studies that showed that healthcare workers who had been inoculated carried 251 times the viral load in their nose, nasal pharynx. I assume that's just the schnoz. 251 times the viral load in the vaccinated than the unvaccinated. But it continues to get better. They did a whole segment on hugging. This is the health editor with NPR. Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a second. It sounds to me like you're saying for vaccinated people, hugging isn't very risky.
Well, it comes down to a phrase we're hearing a lot during the pandemic. Level of risk. What level of risk are you okay with?
I wish y'all had let us just decide what level of risk we're okay with. That's all we've been asking for. Now he says that, you know, they'll let you do that. But when it comes to hugging.
For example, is the person you're hugging someone who works in healthcare or a school where they're exposed to lots of other people? In that case, you might decide to pass because their risk of exposure to coronavirus is higher. The risk is also greater for people who are immunocompromised. And it's worth thinking about where you'll be hugging, indoors or outdoors. Indoor hugs are riskier because outdoors, the moving air.
I'm sorry. I'd like to hug you. Would you mind if we moved outside?
Helps disperse infected particles.
Oh, my gosh. It keeps coming. Don't worry. It gets even better.
Right. We've all had this weird, awkward moment, though, right? When we see someone we haven't seen for a long time and we're not sure how they feel about hugging. I do this weird, awkward dance where I kind of put my hands up in the air. And
because you're a psychopath.
Kind of like shimmy to see if they want a hug or not. It's embarrassing. I mean,
it should be.
What is the etiquette these days?
I'm not sure I'm going to try a shimmy, but the new etiquette is state your preferences. Don't just go in for a spontaneous hug. You could.
Oh, dear Lord. What has happened to this nation? Again, I say we settled this entire country. Families with toddlers would get into horse covered wagons with wooden wheels. No AAA. And head off where there are no roads in the wintertime just to find a plot of land to homestead on. And now we're scared of a hug.
Say, hey, I'm vaccinated. I'd love to give you a hug. Are you vaccinated too? And on the other hand, if you know that that person just got off a 6-hour flight or went to an indoor concert, it's fine to say, let's just mask up first.
Oh, dear Lord. It's not over.
What about the kids who are too young for a vaccine? You know, they're huggers. They need hugs.
No hugs for the kids.
Kids are involved. Check with the parents. Is it okay if I hug your kid? Or if you're the parent, ask, is it okay if my kid hugs you?
Are there people living their lives this way? Little Timmy comes running up to you. Haven't seen you in a while. What do you give him, the Heisman? Let me check with your parents first. Don't get too excited about that hug, Jimmy. I got to get your parents to sign a waiver.
So we heard a lot about the death of the handshake at the start of the pandemic. You know, everyone was doing those elbow bumps, kind of like a chicken dance.
Like psychopaths.
Are they still risky?
Let's say I have a breakthrough infection and I don't know it. And maybe I sneezed or coughed in my hand. So you reach out your hand, I reach out my hand and touch you. And then you're going to take your hand to your face inevitably because we touch our faces many, many, many times a day without even knowing it. So there is an element of risk. If you do handshake, you might want to hand sanitize right after. Although one professor I interviewed told me she feels safer with the elbow bump because you'd have to be a pretty talented contortionist to bring your elbow to your eyes, nose, or mouth.
I come from a culture where you actually kiss people on the cheek to say hello. It is very common among Latinos to just say hello and go mwah on the cheek. I'm assuming that that is probably not going to be okay.
Well, when COVID was peaking in France, and you know the French are big, big cheek kissers, mm-hmm. The president urged people to give up cheek kissing. But now he's rescinded that. I believe he's cheek kissed in public. A cheek kiss is pretty quick. You'd have to actually wipe where someone kissed you on the cheek. You'd have to take your hand, wipe that spot with your hand, and bring your hand to your mouth or nose. So not high, high risk.
One more. Now, as I said, this is not a comedy skit. This is passing is programming on NPR, and I assume there are people where they pull over to the side of the road. Are they making notes? Wait, can rewind? What did he say about the face kissing?
But then there's the air kiss. In an air kiss, you're blowing air in someone's face. Don't do it unless you're blowing the kiss from across, a football field.
Lord. Whew. Yeah, I'm ready for the alien invasion. Is there any intelligent life out there? This is another one, not a skit. Now, luckily, this is not within our borders. This is down in the land down under that has gone completely insane. And their police have been facilitating this march to insanity. This is a police encounter with a man who dared to go out and sunbathe.
So I'm Constable Weston from Maroubra Police Station. As I said before to you, sunbathing is not an essential reason to be outside. I'm requesting your identity because I suspect you're committing an offence. You must provide that identity to me, okay?
Okay.
And we'll investigate further.
For me, sunbathing is not essential. Do we believe that the public health order is superseding common law?
We're not arguing points of law with you. We're acting on the public health order. You need to be outside for an essential reason. You are in a hot spot zone for the COVID virus. Unfortunately, we must enforce you've got to be outside for an essential reason. Laying on the beach, just having a sunbathe, it's not an essential reason to be outside.
I know.
Now, we're going to look further into whether you are committing an offence.
Mm-hmm. They're going to do an investigation into his sunbathing to figure out if he has committed a crime. How about this, Dad, for all you people out there who said, you gave the police, I mean, I know this is Australia, but we've done it here too, and you said to yourself, I don't care if the NSA spies on me. I don't care if the police have no-knock warrants. As long as you're doing nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. Isn't that what you said? Did you ever imagine a day where sunbathing? You can hear the ocean behind the guy. He's outside on the beach getting rousted by the police. For you parents sitting on the sidelines, letting the few energized parents try to carry water for you to knock back things like mask mandates because you think it'll just be over in a little while and you don't want to be bothered. I'm telling you, it is not going to be over anytime soon. It's going to be over when we all collectively get together and tell them it's over. This is one of the chief health officers in New South Wales.
your level of restrictions, what you permit. It may be that we actually have indoor mask wearing for years. And this virus may throw us curveballs. There may be, you know, we've got the Delta variant. God help us if we have another variant.
Yeah. For years. Did you hear? You hear that word there? For years. You don't get the masks off your kids now. You will be masking your children for years. We have the same nut jobs here in the United States. This is the medical ethicist at, his name is Art Kaplan. He's the medical ethicist at New York University. Trying to kind of, you know, figure out, is it ethical to force people to take a vaccine? Is it ethical for doctors to withhold care for the unvaccinated?
Hi, I'm Art Kaplan. I'm at the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine in New York City.
Grossman is right. Listen to what he has to say.
A couple of weeks ago, a physician in Alabama said he'd had enough. He would not be seeing any more unvaccinated patients in his practice. A lot of other doctors are starting to think about following in his footsteps.
Good. I hope all of you hysterical doctors expose yourselves so that thinking patients can get their children and get themselves the hell away from your practice. I encourage any doctor that is this hysterical about COVID to please, please not serve. Because I got to tell you, if you are dealing, if you have got a doctor advising you on your health that cannot see that the vaccine doesn't stop the spread, it doesn't stop the contraction of COVID, it makes no difference in long-term COVID trends. If you've got a doctor that still cannot see that, you need to run from that doctor.
Is it ethical to say, I'm not going to treat you if you're not vaccinated? Well, it's a sticky issue and a complicated issue.
It's really not.
Let me try and work through a little bit of the thinking. The Alabama doctor said it was too hard on him. He suffered too much worrying about what was going to happen to his...
He suffered too much worrying. Oh, dear. Poor thing. He's worried. I mean, nothing's happened. It hasn't been the catastrophe that they've been telling us it was going to be all. But he's had to worry, so he's going to reject care for his patients because they won't take an experimental shot.
Unvaccinated patients. I don't think that's a good reason. I do think a better reason might be I have to protect my staff from unvaccinated people.
Why? You're vaccinated. I'm not vaccinated. We both walk into a room. Both of us can contract COVID. Both of us can carry COVID. Both of us can spread COVID. Why am I more of a danger?
I want to keep people safe in my waiting room, and I don't want to be exposed to people with COVID for fear of a breakthrough infection.
But the people who've been vaccinated can carry and transmit COVID. You've done nothing. You've done nothing for the transmission of COVID. And I would assume these doctors have been vaccinated. Does their vaccine not provide any protection for them? I thought that was one of the big selling points.
It also may make some sense to say, if you won't follow my medical advice and do what I tell you to do, there's no point in me taking you on as a patient.
Ah, there's a lot of those out there. That American medical advice. We're really zeroing in on perfect health here in the United States, aren't we? They've their advice is not worth what they believe it is.
So under those terms, I think primary care people, family doctors, nurses who do primary care could say, I'm not taking on any patients who won't vaccinate.
Yeah, I actually encourage this. It's nut jobbery at its finest. But if you've got a doctor that's that hysterical, you want to know it. You don't want them to be a closet ignoramus. You want them to show themselves so you can go find a more qualified medical professional before they do more damage to your health. This is interesting. One of the most heavily vaccinated states in the country is Alaska.
Lawmakers in Anchorage have approved an emergency mask mandate amid a surge of coronavirus cases that have pushed local hospitals to the brink. But as Wesley Early from Alaska Public Media reports, the mayor of the state's largest city has vetoed the ordinance.
The emergency order mandates masks in indoor public places and in communal spaces. Children under age 5, people participating in sports or at church, and members of Mayor Dave Bronson's administration are exempt.
How about that? Masks for everybody, except the people around me. Me and my buddies, we don't have to wear a mask. Anyway, Alaska, one of the most heavily vaccinated states in the country, suddenly with the COVID outbreak. That's weird. And now they're reimposing a mask mandate on them all. There was a British MP who, I don't know, he did something unusual for politicians in any country, but he stood up in front of Parliament and started telling the truth. I got to tell you, this guy better watch his back.
The government may have not been too keen to promote that information, but I think in failing to do that, it is actually counterproductive. I think most important of all, to give some assurance to those people who are already suffering. Our hospitals have got a large number of inpatients who are only there because those patients took the vaccine.
Wait, what?
And it's causing a lot of angst for consultants across the country. We know that there is causation between vaccinations and damage caused by those vaccines. Yet the government, in a lot of its literature, seems to be denying that.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Well, I guess they're doing the same thing in Great Britain that they're doing here. This is a little bit of a longer clip, and I'm already running late, but I've got to, I got to keep consistency here. I've got blocks of clips. Here it is. Joy Reid talking about Eric Clapton. You know, Eric Clapton has been resisting the lockdowns. He did take the vaccine, although that doesn't stop them from calling him an anti-vaxxer. He suffered a pretty horrific reaction to that vaccine, so he has let people know the truth of his actual situation. Of course, Joy Reid gets to the true motive of Eric Clapton.
Celebrities have the power to sway millions of people, which is why it's so alarming when particularly the ones with huge platforms publicly spread vaccine disinformation. Rock and roll icon Eric Clapton is the latest example, making news today for donating a van and 1,000 pounds to British anti-vax group Jam for Freedom. As Rolling Stone reported today, that's just the tip of the iceberg for Clapton. He participated in one of singer Van Morrison's 4 anti-lockdown songs last year. And he's spoken out against the vaccine ever since he claimed he had adverse effects from it.
He claimed. That's one of those little snarky words. She doesn't believe him, apparently.
Blaming pro-vaccine propaganda, Clapton then released an anti-vax song called This Has Gotta Stop and went on a tour of Red America, where he took a picture with Bounty Hunter Texas Governor Greg Abbott, because of course he did. Now, what really stands out about
now, here we get to the real meat and potatoes. You think that Eric Clapton's just fighting for freedom and expressing his opinion because he was harmed by the vaccine? Oh, no. Joy Reid's going to let you know it's much deeper than that and darker.
White anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken from them. And they have this weird habit of trying to do that by co-opting the history of actually oppressed people. Clapton is no different. He claimed that vaccine mandates are discrimination. The lyrics of his song with Van Morrison include, do you want to be a free man or do you want to be a slave? And as Rolling Stone points out, this isn't Clapton's first nasty brush with matters of race. He used a derogatory term to describe his friend Jimi Hendrix in 1968, though the magazine points out it was, quote, hipster slang at the time. And at a concert in 1976, he went on a racist rant that included him saying, stop Britain from becoming a black colony. Keep Britain white. It was particularly shocking at the time because Clapton's music was heavily influenced, one might say appropriated, from black musicians.
So now, if black musicians put out great music like the blues and a white person likes it and joins in and helps it evolve into new rock and roll forms, that's not collaboration. That's appropriation.
One of his biggest hits was a cover of Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff.
Racist.
Clapton has apologized for his racist past, blaming it on his addictions to alcohol and drugs. But his behavior over the past year is also questionable. And as Rolling Stone put it, Clapton went from setting the standard for rock guitar to making full tilt racist rants and becoming an outspoken vaccine skeptic. Did he change or was he always like this? I mean, maybe he's just a jerk.
So there you go. Vaccine hesitancy is actually racist.
All over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Hey everybody, quick little inserted message here. First, I want to thank everybody for listening to this show on podcast. I really appreciate your support of doing that. I know a lot of people have said they're sharing the podcast, and that means a lot to me as well, so thank you so much for that. I've had a lot of people ask how they can support the show. Most importantly, please support the advertisers on WYAB that make the show possible in the first place. And if you or somebody that you know wants to advertise, wants to market a business, please have them reach out to me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com or call into the station. We are extremely dedicated to our advertisers. They get a great return on investment, and they make this station and this show possible. So please do that. For those of you who want to support the show directly, I've had requests for that. I've set up a site, a kind of a crowdfunding site that you can contribute whatever amount, doesn't matter, whatever you value, think the show brings to you. You can go to ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. And that's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. I'd like to be able to expand access to some of the source material for the show so people can get the research that I do and share it with people. I get a lot of requests each day for clips or links of my source material. This might allow me to build a web page and start being able to share those things so I can direct people to those basically at any time. They don't even have to contact me. So any support that you give to the show will be used for things like that. Again, to donate, you can go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow and just contribute whatever you think it's worth, whatever value it's brought, or continue to just listen to the show for free. I'm just thrilled to have you on board in the first place. So whether it's supporting our advertisers, becoming an advertiser yourself, or sharing this with somebody who might want to advertise on WYAB, or supporting the show directly, I thank you a lot. And last request, while I'm being kind of needy, if you like the show, if you would, take a minute to rate it on your podcast app and write a small review if you feel moved to do so, but a rating will certainly help. I'm not good with self-marketing and social media type stuff, as many of you know, but they say that will help in rankings and help the show reach more people. So if you can rate it or write a review and or both, it would be much appreciated. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Back to it now. All right, final segment for the week. That last segment went long, but it is just too funny to laugh at the COVID cult out there. That stuff, just insane. This is society now. They need to just be laughed at this point. It has just gotten beyond absurd. Before I leave, though, I always want to tell you, my best piece of advice to you this weekend, head out to Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, out in Gluckstadt, 10-inch brick oven fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, wine, beer. They got it all. Got TVs for the games, too. And if somebody is looking for work, this place, like many small businesses, they're struggling to find good help. If you know somebody that is good, wants a job that pays well, a great working environment, send them out to Your Pie. And I tell you what, I've come in contact with a lot of the customers out there, wonderful people that have been so understanding and so appreciative of what Your Pie does in this tough and challenging economy. It's been amazing to see how great the customers, I mean, the restaurant's great. The customers may be the best part of that restaurant. They have been so wonderful in supporting Your Pie. Again, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Make sure you download the app. You'll get some goodies and some specials and extra points and stuff. But check them out and support your small local businesses that are struggling through this time. I don't have time for much else, but I can't resist it. Let's play this one more time.
Our number is 50 passenger Lexco. Brandon, please report your G10 to reach your party. Passenger Lexco, Brandon, please report your G10 to reach your party.
That's somebody paging passenger Lesko Brandon at the Chicago airport. I love the humor on the right these days. Keep it up. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.
No matter Bye-bye. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.